Thank you for that song. It was so beautiful. I feel like we could all just listen again and maybe go home. It reminded me of a quote I saw recently. My wonderful friend, whom I've never met, George MacDonald, the author of Years Past, says that as we age, what happens is the husk can't contain the life within. And you've passed 40 and I've passed 60, so I know about that husk. But what you sang about and talked about is the longing we have. And you could hear the longing in your words and see it in your reflected images. And what I'm finding is, and what I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning, is that he's given us really specific ways in which we can cultivate the kind of beauty she's saying to us about. That we don't have to just long and look at the wrinkles, but we really can be intentional about cultivating that inner beauty, which really, when you think about people that you really enjoy, who are really beautiful, it's not kind of the classic cover of Vogue beauty. I was meeting with a woman the other day who's in incredible pain from really, really, really hard circumstances, very young woman. And all I could think of the whole hour was the word beauty. In her suffering, this inner beauty was almost blinding. And I wouldn't say that she was a classic beauty. So we live in a culture where to be intentional about cultivating inner beauty, which means really cultivating our friendship with God and with each other, we're swimming upstream. So we can't be lackadaisical about this, because the shame voices that say you're too this, too that, and not enough this, and not enough that, they're really loud. And everything you read at the checkout stand and everything that flies through your emails and your Twitter, it's all giving us a focus that is toward, far more toward Botox than it is toward inner beauty. And what I'm finding, first of all, oh wait, you know what? I'm going to set this, because when I start talking about this stuff, I really can talk for days. So I'm just going to do something, because they'll hold up a sign telling me to stop and I won't see the sign. So I'm going to do this for 20 minutes. So, soul nourishing habits. I'm going to think about this to make myself feel better about only having 20 minutes with you when I really want 2 hours, is when my Whole Foods image, which when my daughter was little, she used to love to go to Whole Foods with me because she said, Mom, they have free examples. She'd go tearing around to all the So all I'm going to do in 20 minutes is give you some free examples so you won't have to. And I do want to say that I really would love if people have follow-up questions, because we probably won't do Q&A. If you want to go deeper on something, these ladies who lead this have my contact information. Cell and email. So don't hesitate, because that's really one of my joys, is connecting with you all. So push my notes out of my pocket. I like to think of this, there's a big scary off-putting word called spiritual disciplines, which, doesn't that sound wonderful? Sign me up. I like to think of it as tasting and seeing. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That's what I'm finding these habits are doing for me. And I can honestly say in the past 5 years since I've been practicing some of these, my life has changed exponentially. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. Life in God gets exponentially better. Doesn't mean bad stuff doesn't happen. It's just the life inside does burst the husk. And that's true. So all the lies about, well, it's downhill from 30, really are lies. Soul nourishing habits need margin. I know those of you who have heard me speak before, it's a big word for me, and just envision the margin around a page. If you didn't have it, it wouldn't be a very inviting page to read. So all the good stuff happens in the margin. On the days when your life has no margin, you don't have much rest. Often you don't have much joy. Now I also want to say to those of you who have a lot of little people, don't let this make you mad. I do remember. I remember when I was trying to nurse twins and they were eating every 45 minutes, one or the other, and I called the OHG expert nursing people because I didn't have enough milk. She suggested that I sleep more. She was very lucky she was on the phone. So some of what we're talking about, remember, I'm in my 60s, you're not. But what I want to really show you is that we're not talking about going on a 5-day silent retreat. We're talking about in real life, where the rubber really meets the road, how can you have some more breathing space? So right now, I want you just to close your eyes, and I want you to take a few deep breaths. If your arms are crossed and your legs are crossed, and if you have a baby, you stay just as you are. Uncross. Get comfortable. Notice your body. Oddly enough, I think as Christians often, we sort of ignore that the incarnation happened. That means God has a body and he gave me a body, not just to try to squeeze it into size 28 jeans. He gave me a body so that it can thrive, so that he can live in it, shine through it. So notice your body right now. Notice where the tension is. Notice your face. Let your face soften. Sometimes we hold tension in our shoulders. Let your shoulders relax. Your hands. Practice opening your hands as wide as you can. Feel what it feels like to have them open. That's a receptive, vulnerable posture. And now turn them upside down and feel that letting go posture. And take a deep breath in. Welcome that in. And a deep breath out. Let go. Allow yourself, your body, just to rest. So part of what we've done just now is just notice what it feels like to notice yourself. Especially when you're noticing other little people so much. It does raise the question of, am I worth it? Nourishing my soul? Well, I have a lot of other souls to nourish. And the fact is, the best thing you can do for those other souls is nourish yours. When you look at Jesus' life, he had plenty of margin, and he was busy. I want you to hear that. We don't have to feel guilty because we're busy. He's given us a lot of stuff to do, right? That's good. But he never was hurried. You ever read anything in Scripture about Jesus and thought, man, he's frantic. Where he's off to next? He never was. So the enemy isn't a lot of stuff to do. The enemy is hurry. And one of my favorite authors, Dallas Willard, says, ruthlessly eliminate hurry. One of the spiritual disciplines that I hope you'll take a taste of today, and you just took a little taste just by, quote, wasting some speaking time by doing nothing. One of the spiritual disciplines that I love, one of these free examples, that I'm going to offer you is slowing. The discipline of slowing. And the beauty of all this stuff is you practice. You start where you are, not where Susie Q is, or where you think you should be. You ignore the shoulds, because they're all shame voices, and you practice where you are. So what might slowing look like for you today? It might be as simple as actually being aware when you're snagging that extra French fry off your child's plate, right? That you live on leftovers a lot. Just slowing. Just notice that. Just close your eyes and enjoy the French fry. It might be, do you really have to go 45 and a 35 on the way home? Are you really the leader of the free world? I think I answer that a lot, yes. And so that's another part of practicing these soul-nourishing habits is getting to know yourself, be curious about yourself. And as my favorite monk says, instead of whap, 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 say, well, now, isn't that interesting? You really can't go 45? No, I can't. I mean, 35. I'm going to go 45. Why? I don't know. Just because it makes me feel better. And what I'm realizing as I'm practicing this, we're always getting to know each other. I mean, we know ourselves. I'm getting to know myself more now, much more now than I did when I was your age. And what I just realized with this huge aha moment, now that these soul-nourishing habits are allowing me to get to know myself, I realized, wow, all my busyness, all my hurry, a lot of it is to cover my anxiety. Well, that's a big insight, right? That means I need to listen to that and give myself permission. So sometimes I take just a few minutes and I say, I call it mind my mind. And I'll just say, Lord, you mind my mind. There's so many things flitting in and out. So I set an app on my phone for the number of minutes I set it. You can set your timer for 2 minutes. You really start small with this stuff, because when you start slowing down, all the inner voices tell you you're wasting time, this is worthless, that lady was crazy. So I just practice for this time. That's the work God's giving me to do right now. For those 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it is. That's all the work he's giving me to do, is just letting him mind my mind. So when thoughts come up, I just let them go, out in the end. When emotions come, sometimes tears come, I don't know where they come from, but I just let them go out in the end. Do I have any great insights? Do I have any wonderful answer when Ray comes home to what you do today? Nope. But I'm a whole lot better person to be with, I can tell you that. And my mom, my love dearly, never learned these soul-nourishing habits and quite literally went to her grave saying, hurry up. What time is it? And hurry up were her two phrases. And so if you think that it's just a stage of life, it's not. Our souls are being formed. C.S. Lewis says that every time you make a decision, you're a choice, you're turning that inner part of you into something it wasn't before. And we all have choice. So listen to your own dialogue inside, monologue inside, and see how often you say, I have to do carpool now, I have to do this, I have to do that. And then kind of ask yourself, really, do you? Is that something you have to do or you've chosen to do? Have you signed your kids up for 35 extracurricular activities? You have to, or you didn't. So it's just realizing the freedom of we have choices. We're not stuck in all this stuff. Welcoming prayer, we talked about last year, which is a prayer of surrender, and it's a prayer for real life. So you're saying, welcome into, okay, I just kicked the dog. Better than kicking a child. But instead of, oh gosh, what's wrong, kind of thing, welcome God into that mess. Welcome God into the lows. Welcome him into the disappointments. Welcome him into the Valentine's Day that wasn't. Welcome them in. Just like you want your kids to welcome you in. You don't want them over in the corner sucking their thumbs, thinking they're all alone in life. Welcome them in. And you can do that literally with a breath. This is not a big, okay, where am I going to find 15 minutes? This is quite literally breathe in, welcome, breathe out, let go. Just that simple. So try it. Breathe in, thinking welcome. Okay, big inhale. Breathe out, let go. You can take, breathing really matters. We think this is all part of just yoga class. It's not. Breathing really matters. Our bodies really matter. So sometimes when I'm all tied in knots, I think, okay, even though I'm the leader of the free world, can I take 2 minutes to leave my get up out of my chair where I run the universe and do this? Just go and hear it and do it again and do it a third time. And you know what often happens? By the third time, I'm smiling. Not because, oh gee, I should smile instead of frown. It just makes me smile. I did this, I was meeting with a young woman some months ago who was under incredible professional stress. And she kind of rolled her eyes, and I said, I know, a lot of this stuff feels like kindergarten. Just do it. She stood up with me, and she went, and she burst into tears. So we carry all this, and we don't have to. We don't have to. We have kids that are counter high. In our hearts, we are counter high also. We do not carry the weight of the world. If we're doing that, the weight is on the wrong shoulders. And all these habits are ones that remind us of that. Another is contemplative or meditative reading. And it's the opposite of what we usually do. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Read that thing, get it off. If you like it, shoot it to 10 friends, it's gone. Boom. So I want you again to close your eyes, and I'm going to read you my favorite quote. And I'm going to read it twice, because the first time you'll just be getting used to it. Never let yourself think that because God has given you many things to do, pressing routine jobs, a life full up with duties and demands of a very practical sort, that all these need separate you from communion with Him. God is always coming to you in the sacrament of the present moment. Meet and receive Him there with gratitude. However unexpected its outward form may be, receive Him in every sight and sound, joy, pain, opportunity, and sacrifice. So let that settle and notice if there's one word or phrase that resonates. Never let yourself think that because God has given you many things to do, pressing routine jobs, a life full up with duties and demands of a very practical sort, that all these need separate you from communion with Him. God is always coming to you in the sacrament of the present moment. Meet and receive Him there with gratitude. However unexpected its outward form may be, receive Him in every sight and sound, joy, pain, opportunity, and sacrifice. And so open your eyes and just notice what it feels like to give yourself the space to actually listen to something. And notice your reaction. It may be a longing, it may be annoyance. A lot of times when someone speaks of these things, there comes up a lot of resistance, and it can take the form of, I hate her voice, I wish she would go home, I wish I could go home. So just be aware, and be curious about yourself, and be curious about God. what I love from that quote is that he's always coming to me in the sacrament of the present moment, which means he's here. One way that I remember that he's here is something called the Daily Examine. And I have some, I've made bookmarks with the questions on them. Also has my contact information. And I snatched these and probably didn't bring enough, but if you want them, take one, and if there aren't enough, I'm glad to give you more. But just simply, the Daily Examine, it's not examine as in end of semester exams. It's a flyover of your day in God's company, remembering that he's coming to you in the sacrament of the present moment. And it, so it's like sitting down with a friend and a cup of tea at the end of the day and saying, let's look back. This day, which was kind of on the fly, let's look back. What was most life-giving today? Ooh, never thought about that. It doesn't have to be a big fancy thing. For me, sometimes it's just I burst out laughing when somebody did something. That's really life-giving. That felt so good. And what was life-thwarting today? So you start to do that every day, and you start to know yourself. And then the things that are life-giving, you start to think, wow, what if I could actually cultivate that? What if I could actually give myself permission to spend some time doing life-giving things? Because what happens is you end up then being someone through whom life flows. And there are other questions. You can do that at the end of the day, or if you're like me, you're so tired, often I don't get past really the first question, or I choose my question, which one I want for the night. But that's fine. I fall asleep hand in hand with the Lord, looking back over the day. And then sometimes in the middle of the night, you all are up probably for different reasons than I am in the middle of the night, but there always is a middle of the night for women, right? And so you can pick it up again. So I think now I need to give you all time to be in your small groups. Is that about right? Okay. So in your small groups and then hopefully afterwards, I would really encourage you not to think about which of these things you should do and how much you're kids wouldn't be so messed up if you had done them 10 years ago, and all the sorts of womanly talks. What I'm noticing and learning is that God is a God of invitation. He invites us. He invites us. Hear that. He's inviting you to new life today. He's inviting you to be a little more alive and a little more joy-filled and a little more peaceful tonight than you were this morning. And so on each day. So what are his invitations to you? Don't try to be big and fancy. Just what, was there a moment in what I was saying that where your heart leapt and you thought, oh, wow, that would feel good. That's the kind of thing to pay attention to. That's how the Holy Spirit speaks. He never speaks through shame. He never speaks through shame. He speaks by inviting you into new life. Thank you.